जय। नवदीप धाम की जय। जगन्नाथ पुरी की जय। गंगमयी की जय। जमनमयी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tvak Charma Mangsa Rudhira Medo Mejasti Hatavaha Bhumi Ap Tejo Maya Sapta Prano Yoma Ambu Vayubhi Tvak Charma Mangsa Rudhira Mero Majjasti Tatavaha Yapte jo maya sapta Prano vyomambu vayubhi Tvak charma mangsa rudhira Mero majjasti dhatavaha Hum yapte jo maya sapta Prano vyomam bhuvayubhi Tvak charma mamsa rudhira Mero majjasti dhatavaha Bhumyap tejo maya sapta Prano vyomam bhuvayubhi Mero majjasti dhatavaha Blood. Medaha, fat. Majja
marrow.
Asti
bone.
Tatavaha
elements.
Bhumi
earth.
Up
water.
Tejaha
fire.
Mayaha
predominating.
Sapta
seven.
Pranaha
breathing air.
Yoma
sky.
Hambu
water.
Vayupi
by the air.
The seven elements of the body, namely the thin layer on the skin itself, the flesh, blood, fat, marrow, and bone, are all made of earth, water, and fire. Whereas the life breath is produced by the sky, water, and air.
Is that permanent hum that has to be here? Okay.
Purport: the construction of the whole material world is prominently made by three elements, namely earth, water, and fire. But the living force is produced by sky, air, and water. So water is the common element in both the gross and subtle forms of all material creation. And it should be noted herewith that due to necessity, water, being most prominent in the material creation, is the principal element of all five. This material body is thus an embodiment of the five elements, and the gross manifestation is perceived because of three, namely earth, water, and fire. Sensations of touch are perceived due to the thin layer on the skin, and bone is as good as hard stone. The breathing air of life is produced of sky, air, and water, and therefore open air, regular bath, and ample space in which to live are favorable for healthy vitality. Fresh produce from the earth, like grains and vegetables, as well as fresh water and heat, is good for the upkeep of the gross body. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Savatutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanamaste Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayema Cha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnadebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Twap charma mangsa rudhira medo majjaski tatavaha bhumyap tejo maya sapta prano vyomambu vayu bhi. These are the elements of the body according to Ayurvedic knowledge. There are dhatus, seven dhatus, or principal elements, features of the body. Here they are listed: tvak, charma, mansa, rutira, medha, majja, asti. Sometimes the list is a little different. Rasa, oja are given. In any case, seven elements, or sometimes everything is summarized. Kunapechi dhatute. It's a bag of three elements. Kapapitta vayu. That's different from the elements mentioned here. Those dhatus are different from these. But anyway, it's a bag no matter what you make of it. However you look at it, however you divide it up, it's just a bag of stuff. Here all the good things, all the goodies are described. Skin, flesh, blood, fat, marrow, bone, and blood. Well, blood was mentioned, all right. All those good things, and that's what the materialist calls me. Or, this is my husband. Or, this is my wife. Rukmini Devi also mentioned that anyone who doesn't have Krishna, any woman who doesn't have Krishna for her husband, has a husband who's simply a bag of three elements, kapha, pitta, and vayu, with some hair on his head and some eyebrows and so on. And that's it. So this is gross ignorance to identify with these elements. There are also subtle elements. Bhumi ap teja. Fire, teja, ap water, and bhumi, earth, which make up, those are also part of the gross stuff. Bhumi ap teja, I see. These are predominated by bhumi, ap, and tejo, by fire, water, and earth. Tejo, vari, vridam. These are the predominating, this is what all this stuff comes down to. Earth, water, and fire. Bhumi, ap, tejo. And then subtle, there's pran, which is manifest from sky, vyoma, ambu. Ambu is again water, and vayu, the air. The common element between the gross and subtle is the water. This prana is an interesting thing. Sometimes we think that the living entity himself is prana. That's not exactly right. Although they're called praninam, living entities. Prana, pranati, those who breathe. Pranati means to breathe. And by extension, to live. Just everyone knows if a person is not breathing, then there's no life there. So as long as there's breath in the body, means as long as there's life in the body. But this prana is not exactly breath, and it's not the same as the spirit soul. It's some subtle thing. It's the seat of the soul, and it's composed of, or predominated by, water, air, and sky. Sky is also probably translates as space or ether. Very subtle element, more subtle than the air. After the air comes ether or sky or space. Space is spacey. Space is very subtle. Air is subtle, you can't see it, but you can feel it moving around. You can see it blowing the clouds. Ether is still more subtle. You need it. Without space, you can't put anything anywhere. Everything needs some space. But space is not exactly something you can put in your hand. You can't go to the store and say, I'd like a pound of space, please. Or, could you please sell me 6 inches of space? It's a very subtle thing, space. If we actually had to say what space is made of, what is space made of? But is it real? Yes, it's real. Is it there? Yes, it's there. Can we do without it? No, we can't do without it. But exactly what is it? You can even measure it, but what are you measuring? You know, if you're measuring a book, well, here's the thing and we're going to measure it. But if you're measuring space, what are you measuring? Very subtle thing, space. So space and air and just add water. And these are the elements that predominate for prana, which is here Prabhupada calls the breathing air, or sometimes he calls it the life air, the breath of life, and so on. These different terms are used, prana. In the history of Puranjana, when the city was being attacked by Chandravega and the soldiers, attacked by time, prana is represented as a serpent who was posted as the superintendent of police for the city of the body. And of course that serpent was dragged out of the body or driven out of the body. There was a big fire in the body and so on. So prana is required. And prana can be manipulated also. Pranayama, pranayama. In the Bhagavad Gita, several times it's mentioned. Murdinhayatmana prana. Prana, bana, sama, yukta. The air of life can be manipulated by capable yogis. They can move the air of life from the through the different chakras, Shat Chakra Yoga, up to the Brahmarandra, the top of the skull, and finally it leaves through the that hole, and the yogi, if he leaves at the right time, goes back to Godhead. So prana. So these are different elements of the body, 7 elements, and then the prana itself. These are described as being part of the universal form, but actually the Lord has no such elements. The body of the Lord is described in Isha Upanishad as having no veins. It's not a mechanical contraption like ours. Ours is really something. Really something. With all this wiring and plumbing and electro-pneumatic systems, and that the damn thing works at all is really astonishing. And sometimes it doesn't work very well. But in any case, it's a mechanical contraption. Yantra. Yantra rudhani mayaya. in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahmayam sarvabhutani yantra-bhutani maya. The living entities are made to wander. Brahmayam means made to wander. Not that they're just wandering, but they're made to wander. Brahmayam. Wandering is Brahmayam, but Brahmayam. They're made to wander on this machine. Basically strapped down to this machine and shuttled around from place to place. Forced, avasha, helplessly to work according to the direction of the modes of material nature. That's our actual position. That we're very much forced to act according to this machinery. And we're limited by this machinery. Birds can fly, we can't fly. So many living beings can do so many things that we can't do, or we can do things they can't do, because the machinery is different. Even among human beings, someone can lift weights and someone can lift pencils according to their different mechanical endowments, what kind of machine they have. But the Lord is beyond all of this. Therefore, when it's described that the Lord has a form made of material elements, when it's described that his eye is the sun, that his all these different elements are manifest, and that there's a Vishvapurusha, Virat Purusha, it's really a kind of imagination. It's not actually so that the Lord is made up of these things. But for understanding the universe and its relationship to the Lord, it's purifying to conceptualize the relationship between the Lord and the universe in terms of the universal form. And therefore the universal form is described. To actually understand the subtleties of how the Lord's energies create the material world is very difficult. We can only understand a little bit. And it's been presented in simplified form in terms of the Virat Rupa, the universal form of the Lord. Otherwise, how the Lord's energies are working, a very subtle business. How everything is working. It's very fine. How it's working is very fine. And it gets down to such things as the whole thing is instigated by the glance of the Lord. Now, the glance of the Lord has so much power that everything, we look at Niagara Falls or something, we say, such power, all that water rushing down. Or we look at a geyser or a volcano and we say, oh, such power, immense power. But all of that power, what to speak of, even in the little atoms, there's all this power which can be harnessed and used for nice destructive purposes. And the power is there, unlimited, practically, immense power in the cosmic manifestation. And this whole thing is set into action. It's all enabled, activated by the Lord's glance. Sa Aikshata. He just glanced and boom, everything starts moving. Oh. How much power is there in the Lord's glance? Krishna says, Vishtavyaham idam krishnam ekam shenastatojaka. With a little fraction of myself, with one fraction of myself, I maintain the whole material cosmic manifestation. Vishtavyaham idam krishnam. One portion of a plenary portion of a plenary portion of the Lord glances at material nature And that's enough to make everything start happening. Not exactly by force, but it's jhana rupam api yasya chacheshtate. The material nature is willing to act according to the desire of the Lord. So simply by a glance, that's a good servant. You just have to glance and the servant springs into action. Just by a glance. Apart from that, Krishna says, what is that? Aham bija pradapita. Kantiya murtiye sambhavanti yaha tasam brahma mahajyoni. The material nature is the mother, serves as the mother for all the living entities. And I'm the seed-giving father. How does he give the seed for all the living beings? Same thing, glancing. All the living entities are impregnated into material nature by his glance. It is glances. And material nature gets pregnant. That doesn't happen on the macrocosmic, on the microcosmic scale. It's not that we glance at our girlfriend and she becomes pregnant. No, I didn't. We didn't do anything. He just glanced at me and something happened. Doesn't work that way. But with Krishna, it works that way. He just glances, and material nature becomes pregnant and gives birth to all the living beings in so many different forms. Innumerable living beings. Sarvayonishu, in so many 8,400,000 different species of life. So this is Krishna. It's very difficult to understand how such things could take place. But they're taking place. There's so many things we can't understand. We think that we can understand everything by scientific investigation, but there's so many things that we can't understand. Subtle things. We had one member in Los Angeles who called me up one day in great distress because he'd just gotten a new house. He used to live at the temple in Los Angeles, then he got a new house about 50 miles away, Long Beach. And so many things were happening. He thought that he was haunted by a ghost because the radio would go on all by itself, it would go off by itself. Knives would fly on their own in his house. Things would appear and disappear. These things were going on. He thought that I'd walked by a cemetery and maybe the ghost, you know, followed me and all of these things happened. So actually it wasn't a ghost. It was, I asked him, is there any adolescent in the house? There was. And these things are manifest when there's a disturbed adolescent. Just as you get epilepsy and the electric current, you know, overloads the body and you get epileptic fits. So when an adolescent is so disturbed that the disturbance enters into the atmosphere itself, these things happen. That's called poltergeist phenomena. And there are many, science has investigated many such incidents. But how in the world that happens? Who can figure it out? That's not supposed to happen. That things fall at the other end of the room because you're upset. By what law of nature does that happen? And there are so many subtle things that we don't understand. There's so many things that we don't understand. So Those are only, and that's a fairly common thing. I mean, not every day, but that's enough that there's whole books about those things happening in the material world on our planet. So then, what to speak of the things that the Lord can make happen by his potency. This is just some adolescent. He doesn't even know what he's doing, but his psychic energy is knocking boxes down or making toasters go off or making things appear and disappear. So if even a disturbed adolescent can do these things with psychic energy, what can the Lord do? There's no limit. Just by his thinking, he can make things happen. Just by his glancing, he can make things happen. Just by his desire, things happen. This is Krishna. This is the meaning of all-powerful. There's no limit. He can do as he likes, when he likes, how he likes, without any material limitation. So how he creates the material world, exactly what goes on and all of its details, even what the material world is, we can't understand. Sukadeva Goswami described the cosmology, the geography of the universe, but he said right off that even if you had the lifetime of Brahma, you really wouldn't be able to get this. You would not be able to understand all of this, even with his lifetime, and what to speak of 7 days in yours, and only part of 7 days for this description. So we can't even understand what the universe is, where things are, what's in it, and what to speak of understanding the powerful force that moves it, or the controller of that force, the personality of Godhead. By mental speculation, no one will understand it. But we can only understand it to some limited extent by hearing from enlightened authorities. In this way, we can get some glimpse of the power of the Lord, the relationship of the Lord with this material nature, our dependency on the Lord, because we're dependent on material nature. All of these things we can understand to some extent, and that will be conducive for devotional service to the Lord. The intelligent person, Bahunam Janmanamante, Ganaman, Maam Prabhadyate, he'll surrender to Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. Sa Mahatma Sudhuruda. All right, any questions? Yeah, conducive to health. Is that what you were asking about? Yeah, because prana is predominated by water, fire, and air. Having a good supply of these things is healthy. If you don't have good water, you won't have good health. If it's always cold, it's hard to keep good health. Just now, this season is a little difficult for some people because the heat is lacking. So we're getting colds or other difficulties. And space, you need enough space. If you take all people and crowd them all together, they'll start getting jittery. They'll have psychological difficulties. But, you know, breathing all their carbon dioxide on one another and so on. Therefore, cities are not very healthy places. No proper air, no proper water. And the no space. So cities are notoriously unhealthy. What goes for water these days? Oh my goodness. We have one devotee, disciple of Bhakti Charamarsh, his mother expired. And he's wealthy. He was spending good money to try to save her. And to no avail. So she'd been healthy all her life. And he asked the doctor, you know, what was it? And he said, city water. So he said, well, what, this? No, city water. There's something called cracking the water. That is to say, when you're a chemist, you can take any water and crack it into its constituents. You know, you'll see it in a test tube with different layers. And city water always has a thin yellow layer at the top. We don't need to explain what that is. Yes.
Could you talk more about the prana?
More about prana. Prana che yar she hetu prachar. One who has prana, he can preach. Therefore, I can't say much about it. What is it?
The soul leaves and the second body leaves and the top of prana also leaves. So then the prana accompanying the soul settle
to the next body?
Into the next body.
I don't know, but I haven't seen any indication that it does. Of course, the subtle body is there. The subtle body travels from one body to the one gross body to the next. That subtle body consists of mind, intelligence, and false ego. But the prana, as we find here, consists of gross elements: sky or ether, air, and water. So, as far as I know, those aren't transferred to the next body. But the living force itself, the Atma, travels to the next body, surrounded by the mind, consisting of mind, intelligence, and false ego. And around the mind, Adhisthanam manaschayam vishayan upasevate. He picks up a particular set of senses because of the mind. The mind is the source of the next body. The mind is there with different ideas about sense gratification. And it picks up a gross body, a set of senses, in terms of those thoughts and feelings and desires. That's just as the air carries aromas, the subtle body carries different impressions of sense gratification, and those become the source of the next gross body. You're not supposed to do that. Is that all right?
Yes and no.
That's the usual story.
I don't know.
Prana is
each time prana comes into the
The birth of prana, how does prana get started? I've never seen any indication of that. We hear prana broken down, apana vayu, prana vayu. Different kinds of life airs. But I've never seen anything in our books about how prana gets generated. This is maybe as close as we come. We find that
these are the constituent elements or predominating elements. Right? Maybe the yogis might study these things in great detail because they have to manipulate these things. Their system is basically mechanical. So they may go into further detail about it, but it is subtle. Beyond that, I don't know.
Water is for jivan, that is life.
Hmm. Yeah, without water you can't live. It's so essential. The scientists say that fortunately our planet has water, and so that life can be supported. You know, as if it just happens to be that way.
But here it seems that you cannot live without or live without the water. So water is on the gross body side. Water is there, so.
Mm-hmm.
On the prana
side, there's water also. Somehow there's water built in. Just as sometimes, you know, the atmosphere has water in it. Sometimes, and you know, there's humidity, so the air is, and practically always, except in the desert, the air always has water in it. You don't see it, usually, but it's there. So here there's water and there's air and together, and along with sky. Sky is melded into this triple mix that prana is formed from. So water is essential. Water is essential for so many things. Without water, there's no digestion. Without water, there's no taste. Without water, so many difficulties, so many things become not possible, life becomes impossible without water. Therefore, that's the next thing, by the way, in geopolitics. Right now it's petroleum, that's the big item, but they're already moving on water. I think there was some article I saw in local newspapers, the big companies like Bislarry and PepsiCo or whoever, you know, the really big players are, they're buying up village water supplies. Because, you know, to sell all this bottled water, you have to have water. And it's supposed to be, you know, nice water, good water. So they're going around to the villages and buying the water rights. They're buying the water rights. You can't take this water. This is our water. In many places in the world, it's like that. Latin America, Africa. If you want water, you have to get it from the guys who own it. You know, big multinational companies own your country's water. And if you want a glass of water to drink, basically you have to beg them or pay them to get water. The poor people may not even have decent water, but the big corporations are pumping, you know, so much gallons and gallons of water. It's a strategic global resource. The Iran is important not only because of its petroleum, but because it's got water. It's one of the countries in that region that has water. That makes it, excuse me? Parjanyat anna sambhava. Without water, nothing grows. So therefore the demons are busy trying to monopolize the water. And I suppose after water, the next thing will be air. You'll go to the pumping station and you'll say, wow, you know, it's like, $3.47 for air now. The price has really gone up. Yes?
Actually, it's not so far from reality. How much of Japan, and even now in some
Yeah. Delhi also, I heard. Yeah, they have pumping stations. You can stop and get a fix of oxygen. Because where are you going to get it? You know, you can't breathe it. It's not there to be had unless you want to breathe in all this other stuff, car fumes and all of that with it. So if you want real air, you have to pay for it. Yeah, it's not so far-fetched. First they mess everything up, then they hoard the remaining stock, and then they sell it to you. First they tax you, then using your tax money they buy up all the stock, and then they sell you. This is the demonic. These things are going on. Prabhupada uses that expression, exploiting the resources of the material energy. And he used that term long before we were reading about, you know, vital strategic resources, exploiting political, countries' resources. But Prabhupada used that term, exploiting the resources. So every one of us is exploiting whatever little resources we can get our hands on. But the big guys, the big operators, they're exploiting resources on a global scale. Yeah. Everybody's a big exploiter or a little exploiter. The ant is also exploiting his, you know, whatever it is he's got. And the big, big, wealthy, powerful men are exploiting on a big, big, powerful scale, which to the demigods looks like, you know, punky little scale, but they're big men in the estimation of this planet. But that's what everyone's doing. They're trying to exploit the resources of the material energy, and of course material energy turns around and punches them in the face. Yes?
One more on resource.
Yeah. Yeah, they exploit the seas, you know. Yeah, fishing rights, petroleum rights, passage, you know, the rights of passage, the right to pass through different sections of the sea. So the sea can be exploited, minerals, pearls, fish, petroleum, other natural salt, other natural resources. The earth can be exploited, again, for its natural resources. Earth, water, the atom can be exploited for its resources. Give me an inch and I'll find something to exploit. That's the material mentality. Right? Whatever it is, exploit it. Right? But the Krishna conscious person or the devotees, they want to offer the resources to the service of Krishna, and in such a way that all living beings will benefit. Sarve sukhino bhavantu. The desire of a saintly person is that everyone should be happy. Not that everyone should be dependent on us, everyone should have to pay us for anything they want. We should be in control of everything, watching everybody, monitoring everybody, restricting everybody, screwing everybody. But that everyone should be happy, because there's enough water, enough land, enough natural resources, enough of everything, because Krishna is being worshipped. By yajna, everything will be there. Purovacha prajapati anena prashavishyadvam eshavo svishtakamaduk. Prajapati said, then just do yajna and be happy. Now if this Sankirtan yajna is spread, then people change their mentality. Not that I have to hoard and monopolize and exploit, but that everything should be offered to Krishna. I only should take as much as I actually need and understand that it's not my property. I'm only entitled to accept my quota from the personality of Godhead and dedicate my life to devotional service, which is the actual purpose of life. The actual purpose of life is not to hoard and grab and exploit. At the end, what does it get me? How much can I have at the end? And what's the use? So the life, pran, our life, our everything, should be dedicated to Krishna. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Samaveta Bhakta Brindaki Jaya Gorpanande. Hare Krishna.
Having a hard time tracking down his name, Saru, he's asleep.
Oh.